Today we will learn great wisdom of the small and weak. You'll see what I mean later. There is a deadly trap which traps even Christians. There is a deadly trap that traps even Christians in this world. And this deadly trap caused another historical plunge in the stock markets. Worldwide, last week, throughout the whole world, the stock markets plunged. Many people are in fear of what will happen next week. Many people are panicking, trying to withdraw their money from banks, trying to sell the stocks, being afraid that the value of the stock will continue to drop to zero. What is this deadly trap, you know that, that caused such a disaster worldwide? It is buy now, pay later mentality. Buy now, pay later, encouraged by easy credits. Bumper stickers used to read, it may not be much, it's talking about this car, but at least it's paid for. Nowadays, bumper stickers would read, I owe, so off to work I go. Or, I want it all, and I want it now. It used to be necessary to be qualified for credit cards, but nowadays, any average person would receive a steady stream of these plastic people eaters in the mail. What happens? Buyers will become enslaved to these credit cards. They'll become slaves of credit cards and the company that they're borrowing money from. There was a young Christian whose name is Billy. He got a job after graduation from college. He made a down payment to buy a new Volkswagen. But he was barely able to afford the monthly payments. But he was convinced that he needed that car now. So he bought that car anyway. 2 years later, he got a raise. But instead of paying off his Volkswagen, he traded it in for a Ford convertible. Now he was deeper in debt and his monthly payments were even higher. But at least he was having fun with his convertible. He enjoyed driving outdoor in his convertible. After two more years, he got another raise. This time, he traded his convertible for a luxury model. Now he owed a ton of money. And the monthly payments had gone through the roof. But all that matters to him was that he was driving a Lincoln, a luxury car. That's the problem with people nowadays. Then the economy went bad. Billy lost his job, therefore he lost his car, not being able to pay the monthly payments. He even lost his house, not being able to pay for the mortgage payments. He lost his big screen TV because even that was paid by credit, and everything else that he bought by borrowing money by credit card. Billy seemed to be living a very good life, driving nice car, but he ended up being bankrupt and homeless. I think Billy is only one of the many victims of the deadly trap of buy now, pay later, have fun now, worry about the debt later, encouraged by easy credit. Some of you might not have credit card yet. How many of you have credit card? Put up your hand. Okay, almost half of you already have credit card. Some of the younger ones probably are not old enough to apply for credit card yet, but as soon as you're old enough, I'm sure in mail there'll be credit cards waiting for you to use. Be careful, don't fall into this deadly trap. And Billy has no treasure in heaven either, besides being bankrupt and homeless here on earth, because he can't even pay off his debt on earth. He won't be able to give 10% of his salary every month to the church to build up God's kingdom. He only gave quarters and a couple of dollars here and there when the offering bag was passed to him out of guilt. And he was treating the quarters and the dollars as payment for a cheap ticket for a poorly produced performance in comparison to those Hollywood performances. How can we compare to the Hollywood performances? If you look at worship service as a performance, I hope none of us will become like Billy, ending up bankrupt, homeless, and having no treasure in heaven. That's where we'll spend eternity. Today we'll learn how we can gain great wisdom of the four small and weak animals. Yes, we'll learn from four small and weak animals great wisdom that will help you to manage your earthly wealth with godly wisdom, in order that we can be free from the trap of buy now, pay later mentality, and be able to practically save money into your heavenly bank accounts while we still have the chance. The first animal we will learn from is ants. According to Proverbs chapter 30, I'll go to the next slide. Yes. Chapter 30, verse 24 and 25, we'll learn how to save now, buy later, instead of buy now, pay later. We should learn to save now, buy later. Verse 24 says, four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Ants are among the smallest and weakest animals in the whole world. Have you ever killed an ant before? All the time, huh? Well, even very young people can kill an ant. I killed ants before when I was a kid, using my index finger. And then the ants would die one by one. I even tried to kill ants with hot water, and I killed a group of them. I'm not proud of what I did, okay? But that's what I did. Yeah. What I'm saying is that ants are very weak. They're small and weak. We can kill them very easily. And yet, here, it says that we can learn great wisdom from such a weak animal. Ants. Why are ants extremely wise? According to verse 24. Look at the verse. They're extremely wise. Look at 25. Why are they extremely wise? Because they are able to store up food in the summer when there is plenty of food to prepare for the winter when there is no food to collect, so that they will not be starved to death. Ants are really smart and wise. Ants can see a coming crisis before the crisis comes and be prepared for it. If you can see a crisis ahead of time and prepare for it, if you can see the prices of buy now, pay later, and be prepared for it, you will not end up like Billy. You will not become homeless. And you will have treasure in heaven when the economy is bad, when you retire, or when you go to heaven. We all, those who have believed in Christ as your personal Savior, will go to heaven. But the question is, do you have treasure in heaven? If you're not saving money in heaven, how are you going to have treasure there? I think this is great wisdom. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? We mention this all the time, right? What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? The difference between knowledge and wisdom is that you should have knowledge. Okay? That's the base of wisdom. And yet, being able to apply that knowledge to benefit you, that is wisdom. Many of us don't have enough knowledge, so we continue to go to college. Some of us will get master's degree, even PhD, to get more knowledge. But knowledge doesn't guarantee that you have more wisdom. If you don't know how to act upon the knowledge you have, especially about godly wisdom, act upon the knowledge we have about God's teachings, that would result in a good night in God's eyes. That is godly wisdom. Wisdom starts with knowledge, but wisdom finishes with action to apply that knowledge. Do you have such wisdom to prepare you for the bad economy and to prepare for your future life in heaven. Do you have such wisdom? The people who are financially free are not those people who are making a huge amount of money, but those who are debt-free. And they save money on a regular basis. I used to have a co-worker. He was very, very smart. A very good insurance agent. He was driving a Corvette, a convertible, a very nice car. But he shared with me that one wish he had was to be debt-free. I thought, I'm better than you. I don't have any debt at that time, although I was not making as much money as he did. Many people, after graduation, after they have started their job, they would end up being in debt. And soon later, they'll find out that it's impossible to pay off your debt with that you purchased by Master with Visa, because Master will not accept you to pay off that with Visa. And finally, you find out that your wish is that you will be debt-free. If we want to have the wisdom to be prepared for a bad economy and for our future life in heaven, let's know the following and do the following. Pay attention, if you know the following and do the following, you will be debt-free on earth and you will have treasure in heaven. First, spend some quiet time this week. And actually, I encourage you to do it annually, every year. Spend some time doing this. Prayerfully, sit down, review your earthly and heavenly financial statuses. How are you doing with your earthly finance? How are you doing with your heavenly finance situation? Check how much income you have. You have received from your job, how much income you have received from your parents, the allowance that you receive your parents, to students who are not working, that's your income. Sit down and then calculate how much money am I receiving weekly from my parents, through my work, monthly, how much is that money? Second, take 10% of that out. That's the amount you should give to God. 10% of your income, either through your salary or your allowances, take 10% of that out. Give that to God. And do that by giving to the church. And that money, God would save in your heavenly bank accounts. So that's how you can accumulate treasure in heaven. Give to the church, give to God's kingdom for God's work. If you are going to give an offering later today, I suggest that in the future, write a check. I typically do that once a month, so I'll not do that every week. But even doing that once a month, do that the Saturday before the Sunday you do it, instead of when the offering bag passes to you. You find out that I have not written the check yet, let me pull out $1 here, one quarter there, and then put that in the offering bag and think that I have done my job, I have offered. That's not the correct attitude to offer to God and to save in your heavenly bank accounts. It's for your own benefit in eternity. So be prepared for that. Thirdly, take another 10% out of your income. That's the amount you should pay yourself. You should have a separate bank account. Every month, take 10% of that out, put that in that separate bank account. That's the money that you will need in the future when the economy is bad or when you retire, you will need that money. If you don't do that now, I'm afraid you'll end up no money in the future. You might be homeless, like Billy. Four, list out all your recurring monthly expenses and estimate all other expenses, even some you think I should have an amount for unexpected expenses. What if my car get in an accident, I still need to pay the deductible for the insurance, right? It might happen, so set aside some money for accidents even. And then calculate. If your average monthly expenses are more than 80% of your monthly income, that means you are not saving 10% in your heavenly bank account. That means you are not saving another 10% for your future. Then that's the time to do the fifth thing. You need to cut some expenses. Economy is bad, that's the reality. I think one thing you can do is to save money by cutting some non-essential expenses, like eating out less, watching movies in theaters less, buying extra clothes, shoes, jewelry, and games less. Use the electric fans if you don't have to use the air conditioner. You know that air conditioner being turned on the whole day, it can cost you like $200 a month. Just in an apartment that's about 1,000 square feet. If it's a 4,000 square foot a big house, I think it can cost $400-$500 per month if you don't plan how to use your air conditioner wisely. Turn off the lights if you don't use them. Buy smaller houses and condos. It is wise actually to buy smaller houses, because the small houses, if that's enough for you, for your guests, if you buy a bigger one, that means you are paying extra dollars for the electricity, maintenance, and tax. It's not wise to have a super big house if you don't really need to use that much space. Okay? If you have the money, that's okay. If you're really tight on budget, it is time, before you buy a house, to buy a smaller house. I'm just planning to buy a condo in the future. Okay? I don't even want to spend too much time to take care of the lawn, cut the grass every week, because I want to spend time to do some other things. Okay? So buy smaller houses or just a condo. In the future, when you graduate, this is applicable to you. In the future, some of you. And buy reliable, gas-saving, and least expensive cars. Don't buy a Hummer. Okay? It's expensive and it uses up gas really fast. And I think it can cost probably if you drive every day like 100 miles, probably can cost you $600 for gas a month very easily. There is great power in saving now on a regular basis and buying later. If you have that strong desire to buy something you want now, hold that thought. Try to pray, ask God to give you the strength to not buy now, instead save that money for something that you really need, not something you want. People have many desires, many wants. You have superstition, and you want the Wii, and you want the Xbox. All very similar. After you've gotten that, you will find out that that's not, you know, much more fun than the one I had before. But if you can hold on, not spending that money, I think you'll be better off in the future. And there is great power in saving now because of the effect of compound interest. I was a business administration major in Berkeley. So I studied very well, and I understood the concept of compound interest very well. Let's say you earned $15,000 a year. Most of you, I believe, at least earn $30,000 a year after you graduate. Okay? Suppose you only earn half of that, $15,000 a year for 25 years, and you are only investing 10% of $15,000 a month. That's $30 a week. Okay, just say $30 a week in a mutual fund at 9% return rate. After 25 years, do you know how much money you will get? You will have $138,000 in your bank account. Okay? If you earn $25,000 a year and you save only 10% of that monthly, 25 years later, you will have $230,809. That's the power of saving money now on a regular basis. What if you have done the same for your heavenly bank account? By saving 10% each month, by giving to the church every month, the money will go to your heavenly bank account. You have stored up great treasures in heaven, because in heaven it's eternity for you to compound the money that you have invested in. The bigger the capital, the basis to start with and continue with investment in that, will make you a great treasure in the future, in eternity as well. So learn from the ants. Be wise. Save now, buy later. Although you are weak and small, you think you cannot earn a lot of money. If you learn the secret of saving money and apply it to your life, you'll be debt free. You'll be richer than the people in Hollywood who make millions of dollars every year, but they spend more than millions of dollars every year. Many Hollywood movie stars, when they were old, they were very poor because they didn't save the money when they had the money. Be wise like the ants. Second wisdom we can learn is to take shelter of, take a picture of the ants. So they store up food when it was summer. They were small, weak, but they also work together. There are many things we can learn from the ants, but let's just learn to save for the future from them. Next, take shelter in the strong. Go to the next picture. Verse 26 says that conies are creatures of little power. Conies are European rabbits. They're like rabbits. Yet they make their home in the cracks or rocky part of a mountain. You see this coney in a crack in a mountain. I think we can learn a lot from a coney, or it's also called a rock badger. This small animal knows where to go when danger comes. The large horizontal cracks in a mountain form a perfect hiding place for the badger. If an eagle swoops down trying to catch the badger, the badger will be protected by the rock. When a lion is searching for lunch, the badger will go undetected by lying very close to a rock that's of the same color as his body. So he'll appear invisible. As long as the badger hides in the rocks, it is safe. But if it wanders away from the rocks, it will become death meat for lions, for eagles. The badger is very wise. It knows that it is weak, but it was able to seek security in what is strong. The badger's strength was not from working out at the gym to become stronger, to be able to fight a lion or an eagle, but instead in taking shelter in the cracks. If you have the brains of a badger, I'm sure everyone here has a brain that's bigger, being able to have more wisdom than a badger. Then you'll figure out that where your strength lies. Where does your strength lie? Do you know that? Last time we said that our strength, our security is not in money, but in God we trust. So be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And according to 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, David, the king, said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress." When he was being hunted by his enemies, he realized that the Lord is his rock. The Lord is his fortress, who can protect him. Badgers know where their strength lies. Do you know yours? Let's learn to hide ourselves in the Lord, our Almighty God, who is the only source of true security. Every day, through continual reading of the Bible, through continual prayer throughout the day, whenever I feel anxious throughout the day, while I'm in the office, while I'm working, even while I was preparing myself to take my fifth Taekwondo test before I get my second degree black belt, I was praying through that. Whenever I felt anxious, I would pray. Whenever I feel I'm losing peace, that's time I should go back to the Bible, read God's word, let God speak to me, let God give me strength. I know where my strength lies. It's not in my black belts. It's not in the degrees that I have, but in God, every day. God gives you the wisdom and the strength to resist the deadly trap of find out, hey neighbor. Thirdly, let's learn the third wisdom from another animal, the locust, to learn how to work together. Verse 27 says that locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. Go to the next slide. Locusts work in a team, and they work in order as if in an army. Even human army, I think, are scared of these locusts. When they march in an army, they can get whatever they want, the food they need, and they are unstoppable when they are together. So we should also learn how to be organized, how to work with our spiritual friends together, to encourage each other, to keep each other accountable, and to help each other not to fall into the trap of buy now, pay later. When you have a spiritual friend with you, when you are trying, you are planning to buy something that you don't really need, you want, and you're trying to buy it on credit, if you have a spiritual friend, a true friend there, he will remind you, don't buy that. You don't really need that. Save the money for your future use when the economy is bad, or when you retire, you will want to have the freedom to not work and do more work for God instead. Okay, if you have such a spiritual friend, that would be a true blessing. A true friend is someone who will tell you the truth, not someone who will always tell you things that will make you happy, but might make you someone who will end up like Billy. That's not a true friend. And we need to work together. The past Friday, we had a dumpling night. I think that was a lot of fun. But I think we also saved a lot of money by making dumplings and eating dumplings together. We were like the locusts. We were trying to make food together. And take a look at the pictures I took when we were making dumplings. The next one, we were having a lot of fun making the dumplings, and then later on enjoying the fruit of our own hands work. I think we should have more dumpling nights in the future, and join us if we have the dumpling nights. Okay, the fourth wisdom we can learn is from a lizard. A lizard. We'll learn that we can use our strength to fight against our enemy's weaknesses. Verse 28. A lizard can be caught with the hand, yet it is found in king's palaces. Go to the next picture. This is a lizard. You can catch it with the hand. Okay? This doesn't look very cute. Take a look at the next picture. Okay, this is a lizard. Lizards overcome the biggest obstacle with the right method. It uses its strength against the strongest enemy's weaknesses. King's palace is strong with security, which cannot be overcome by force. But lizards use its strength, small and good with climbing, to make their way through the crevices in the walls, the weaknesses of the king's palace. The crevices in the walls, and it was able to get into the deepest part of even the king's palace. So we should learn how to use strength against our enemy's weakness. Then you have a chance to win. Actually, that's something that I use in my Taekwondo sparring all the time too. I'm not anxious to attack. I'm always waiting for the opening. I'm always defending myself well, but when I hit, you can be sure that I hit it. So look for openings, look for weaknesses in your enemy. Who's our enemy? When I was practicing Taekwondo, in order to encourage me to be more fierce, my instructor said, who is your enemy? take the test as if you are taking your enemy with force, with power. I said, I have no enemy, but Satan, I know, is my enemy. What's Satan's weakness? Do you know what's Satan's weakness? Satan is very strong, stronger than us. He has the spiritual power to control people. We don't have. But if we know his weakness, we still have a chance to win even over Satan, our greatest enemy. According to James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You think the devil is invisible? Oh, but the Bible says that if you submit yourself to God and you insist on resisting the devil, he will run away from you. The devil will try to control people who surrender before they even fight the battle because of fear. But if we know our true security, our true strength, our true power is in God Almighty, and we submit to God's power and guidance, when the temptation comes, buy now, this is something I really want, this will make me much, much happier, then pray to God and ask God to give you the strength to resist that. To look at that from the right perspective, do you really need another game after having 100 games already? And if you really want that, pay that from your own pocket money, if you're not making money. Even if you have enough money saved, is it really necessary that you buy another game that will just pile up after you have played that for a few more days? If we submit to God, we have wisdom, and we resist the devil, you know what? The devil will flee from you, and you find out that, oh, I don't really need another game. I'm happy without that game, okay? Because my happiness is not from another game or another thing that I want to buy. So learn from the above animals. Don't end up like Billy. Don't become someone who is laden with debt. After graduation, after getting your job, even a dream job, even if you get another raises, if you don't know how to save money, you continue to buy now, pay later. If when the economy is bad, you lose your job, you lose everything you have that you bought by credit card. Instead, do the following. Learn from these four animals. From the ants, first learn, save now, buy later. Two, from the badger, the rock badger, learn how to take shelter in our Almighty God. Three, learn from the locust to work together to help us to resist the temptation of buying now, paying later, and encourage each other to save now, buy later. Fourthly, submit to God and resist the devil's trap of buying now, paying later. Let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, we all know that the economy is doing worse and worse, and many of us are anxious, worried about the economy and how we can survive, and we might worry about how we can pay off the debts. I just pray that you will give us wisdom from you that will help us to pay off our debts with a plan, and help us to have a budget, use our money wisely. Not only are we able to pay off our debts, to be debt-free, to be free from the lenders who are enslaving us when we borrow from them, but let us also be able to get beyond, to be debt-free, but also have the wisdom to save money for our heavenly bank accounts, and also for our future use, and for helping other people with our money. If we cannot resist the buy now, pay later trap, we will forever be enslaved, will not be able to get out of the debt, will not be able to give to God, will not be able to give even to ourselves or give to other people who are in need. Make us wise when we manage our money, and may you be glorified when we manage our money with your wisdom and ultimately, let us always be reminded that no matter what happens, God, you are our shelter, you are our fortress, and we can seek security from you. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.